Okay, well, this morning we're going to talk about partnership, which is kind of one of those key words or key values in the EU. And there's lots of different partnerships when you think about it. I've got a few famous partnerships. The first one, the partnership between Bert and Ernie. True friendship, true companionship. Another famous partnership, Brangelina. They even have like one name for their partnership. That's pretty cool. But there's also partnerships where people actually try to achieve something. Where they actually try and bring about something. I'm not sure about Brad and Angelina. I'm moving on from them. Batman and Robin. They try to achieve something. To fight evil and save the world. And this couple. Anybody recognize these two? Bill and Melinda Gates, yes, which together run an organisation with the vast wealth that they have acquired to end extreme poverty and poor health in developing countries, and particularly focus on the education system in the US and how to develop people who've been left behind in that system. They're a very impressive partnership as they seek to do something very different with the blessings that they've received. But today we're going to look at another great partnership. This partnership between Richard, and I've actually forgotten this guy's name. What's his name? And Henry. Henry? Yeah. Right. Represented by this picture of Richard and Henry, a picture of the partnership between staff and student at the Sydney University EU. It's a long-running partnership, and we have an aim. We have this desire to proclaim Christ on campus, and that draws us together. I think it is a stunningly beautiful relationship. And way transcends all of the earlier partnerships that I mentioned. This commitment to work together as staff and students to see the EU grow, to see people come to Christ, to see people built up, and for God's church to be flooded with Christian leaders. And it's something that I really appreciate. It's one of my highlights of working in the EU over many years, the chance to work alongside students, to laugh together, to sometimes cry together, to sometimes just have those massive wins and successes, and also those massive failures, and to get to do that together. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about that kind of partnership. So what is partnership? Well, I guess there's different models in the student ministry world about how to do student ministry, and all of them have good strengths and some weaknesses. And we've chosen two ministries to look at today, apart from our own. They're both big ministries with different models to ours. The first one we're going to look at is the one from Cambridge University, where Alison Hammond's just headed to, and a group there called the KICU, which is kind of a cool name, isn't it? A cool acronym. Now I've got to do it, don't I? The Cambridge Intercollegial Christian Union is what it stands for, KICU. Now, if you go to Cambridge today, you'll see the KICU working and functioning well and students gathering there together, but it's an entirely student-run group with no dedicated staff support. And so there are some external factors. The churches around the area provide some staff support, and the UCCF, which is the equivalent of the AFES, provides staff. But they're not there permanently. They pop in from time to time. They meet with key leaders. They might invest at particular times of the year. But it's a student autonomy model where the students run the ministry. At the other end of the spectrum, you might head to UNSW, a lot closer than Cambridge, and look at the group there called CBS, Campus Bible Study. It was the ministry that I was involved in as a student, and Patty as well, actually. And Mike worked on staff there for a while, so we have strong links there. The way that CBS is run at UNSW is that it is a staff-run model, a staff-led model. Sorry, I'm just getting my pages mixed up. It's the staff team that makes decisions about the ministry and what will happen and what direction things are going in and what that will look like. And then the students are involved in the doing of the ministry, in leading small groups, in helping serve in a particular ministry area. But ultimate decisions about the ministry and its direction lie with the staff team. And that's based on basically a staff chaplaincy model is what that's called. Well, here at Sydney University, we do it a little bit differently. The answer is that the EU, I guess, has placed itself in the middle of those two models. Oh, the quad with the jacaranda in flower, which is problematic for you guys. Mike Kwan has been passing rumours that the jacaranda is already in flower, but he might just be being a prophet of doom. Yeah. We'll go with that. So what the EU tries to do is to be a student-led group which ministers as a partnership between staff and students. Okay, so in what sense is the EU student-led? Well, there's some, some representations of that in things like the GC, the General Council, and nowadays in management meetings. Are we changing the names of those? We don't like that name, but we'll change it. But where the students gather to talk about the direction of the ministry and decisions that are being made, the General Council makes significant decisions. And those places are staff-free zones. We don't get to go to those places as staff members. There's also the taking of initiative or ownership of the ministry in your faculties and in your teams. And I hope you felt that as Rowan spoke this morning, just that the responsibility that you have as you lead within the EU. The buck really does stop with you. You're held accountable for the ministries that happen in your area. And I hope you feel the ownership for that ministry. And it's often also reflected in leadership moments. So things like chairing of public meetings is done by the students. And even today we've had Mel up leading as student and then staff doing talks, all kind of partnership moments. And then there's also the staff end of things. What is the role of staff? I remember my first changeover many years ago. I arrived new and was told, I went to my little faculty committee. It was an education faculty committee, and education committees are always crazy. We were making marshmallow and spaghetti towers. I do not know why. And I sat down as a new staffie, senior staffie, and the faculty leader at the time, Kath Thompson, said to me, "Okay, this is how it works. The staff do everything the students tell them to do." I was like, "Okay." And off I scurried to get my marshmallow and spaghettis for my team. But I worked out that that was not the right model of partnership. We did have to have some more tough conversations in order to work that out. In fact, Kath was actually just sending me on a thing that day. How does a staff-studentship partnership work? There's a formal EU staff team that's approved by the General Council of the EU, and staff are invited to participate at every level of the ministry. And so pretty much any meeting that happens in the EU has some representatives of students and staff who are involved together in that ministry. There's also, no doubt you guys have memorised your standing orders. There's also some responsibilities laid out in that under 5.1, somewhere in there. Sorry. It's gone from the standing orders. Oh, Matt says it's gone from the standing orders. It used to be in the standing orders, and this is what staff used to be responsible for. I guess Matt will tell us what we're now responsible for, but this is what, classically, the standing orders used to say. Staff will be responsible for the teaching of the Word of God through word and example, through ministry training, through offering advice and wise counsel on the good running and development of the union by working in partnership with students in faculty groups, specialist teams, committees, and the SMEs, and give personal support to students as they seek to be faithful to Christ and minister within the aims and the philosophy of the EU. And so for us as staff, as we think about how to serve in the EU, those are the things that we're trying to focus on. And as you have conversations with your senior staff or with Howies as you serve on teams and committees, this is kind of some of the framework as we think about how to approach staff and student partnership. So what are the benefits of having a staff-student partnership model in particular? So what I'd like us to do is I want all the staff up on their feet, and you're being banished down there to the back near the caramel slice, but we'll know if you eat it. Okay, so if staff can jump up and go back down there. Out you go. There's a few dot points. Yeah. Okay, that's the staff team back there. Okay, guys, what I want you guys to do, the staff to do, you can maybe divide into two, is I want you to think about all the fabulous things that students bring to the partnership, to the ministry partnership, okay? So spend some time there. And down here in students, maybe clump into some groups, I want you to think about what do the staff bring to the EU ministry? What do they bring to the partnership table as we think about how we work together? Okay, so maybe clump into groups of, you know, six or eight and have a bit of a think. Okie dokie. Obviously, the staff could keep going for a long time, but I think the students here have hit the wall. So, guys, can you stand up so we can see you? Alrighty. We'll hear from the students first, which is a classic partnership model, you know, trying to hear from the students first and then going to the oldies down the back. Okay, guys, what did you come up with? What does staff bring to the partnership? Is that positive, I hope?
Incredible patience,
right? Sometimes. Incredible patience. Did you hear that, guys? Should you be jotting this down? Other things? They lift aesthetics. I wasn't talking about an imagined staff team, Helen. I was talking about... Nice. Yes. Other things? Yes. So one of the good things about staff is we're dedicated to serve on campus, and this is our full-time job. This is what we get to do, which means that sometimes we can help you when things are tough or, you know, there's pressure points for students, then the staff can, you know, help the load, carry the load at that point. Yeah, that's a good one. Other things? Yeah. So often the staff are across a couple of things in a faculty but also on a team and have some of the bigger picture in mind. So that can be helpful too in the conversations at the committee level. Yep. Other things?
They pray for us,
for you. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Other things? I can't see who's talking. Oh, there. Sorry, again. Could you just repeat it? Yeah, and so one of the great things that we can do as staff is invest in you guys, get alongside. I think that's one of the highlights for me is meeting with students and helping them reflect on the ministry and grow during their time here. It's exciting. Yeah, other things? Yeah. So often we've had some experience in different areas of ministry and we can bring that to the committee table, often served in different places and can bring that wisdom to the current situation. Yeah, up the back there. Mm-hmm. Yep, so some, again, communication and passing on ideas and thoughts and stuff. That's good. Yep, Esther? That's right. They're handy because they often own cars. Yes, that's good. That's true. Yeah. Ryan.
They're trained in teaching the word and they train us in teaching the word while teaching it to us at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's that kind of biblical, really. That biblical model of teaching and passing the word, passing on the word. Yeah, that's great. Alrighty, what about at the back there, guys? What have you got that the students bring to the ministry? Yeah, one of the things I found great about partnership over the years is often I feel like I know what the best idea is. I can remember a conversation where the students came up with a crazy idea and they were keen to do this, standing on boxes proclaiming the gospel, milk crates outside the education faculty. I said, ugh, look, this is dumb and it's not going to happen. And what's going to happen is you're all going to chicken out and I'm going to be the person standing on a milk crate looking stupid. Anyway, they assured me that was not true. We ran with the milk crates. It was amazing and someone came to Christ. And I was remarkably humbled by that experience. Yep, up the back there. Yep, cultural, yep. Yeah, yeah. So you guys are on the ground. You have the relationships and friendships with people in the classes, in your tutes, across the campus, and also have the relationships, but also have insight. You kind of know what your friends are talking about. You know what education students are thinking about when it comes to the gospel or whatever faculty you're in. So that's a great strength that you bring to the table. Yep. Other things? Yes, yes, it is a great thing about being in the EU. Students with youthful optimism and a real belief that you can do whatever, and I think that's very exciting and, again, humbling. Yeah? Yeah, so one of the great things about being young and in the EU is we can change anything and everything almost at the drop of a hat. Sorry? What? All at once. Yes. As Steph points out, often all at once. Yeah, so there's that kind of energy and openness to change. Things don't have to be done the same way they've always been done before. And I think that's kind of one of the great things that students bring to the table. Yep. Anything else? Up there, one final. Yes. I can only half hear because my ears are blocked from crickets, but legitimacy, did you say? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And at that point, we're support. We're here to help you do the ministry on the campus. Great. All right, you can come back now and rejoin the group staff. Well, I thought I would tell you how we ended up with this strange model of partnership. It's quite unique, even within the AFES movement here in Australia. There's a few other campuses that have this similar model, but we're a bit unique. So I'll just tell you a little bit of the history. Is Nicola here? Nicola from law? No. She said to me, oh, Kaz, don't do any more history. But I was a history teacher, so suck it up. This, why do we have partnership? This is the history. We have a long history of support from St. Barnabas Broadway, which is just down the hill. It really started back in 1949 when Howard Guinness, the man who'd been involved in starting the EU way back in 1930, came back to be the rector of Barney's Broadway. And he was immediately focused, of course, on the university ministries and how to give support across to the EU. There's actually a part of the Barney's Rectory, this kind of strange outhouse bit that Howard Guinness actually encouraged and I think probably physically helped the EU build as a storeroom so that they could put their gear up there. Anyway, that's pretty fun. We may still use it sometime soon in the future. Okay, after the beginning stages of Howard Guinness starting to invest in the EU and build the relationship there, that support from the EU continued after Howard Guinness had left Barney's. And particularly, there was a big step in the 1980s when Rob Forsyth became the rector of Barney's in 1983. Rob had been working in Adelaide University and had worked with the group alongside it in what he called the uncle model. Okay. Now, his thought was with the uncle model was it was not that he was a parent or that the staff were parents and got to tell the students what to do. And it wasn't like they were just sort of siblings alongside them in the ministry, because they did have often more years and more experience of ministry. And so Rob started to use the expression of the uncle model, of being alongside the EU to give helpful advice and wisdom and support without giving the control, without having the control such as the parent would have. He used the principle of hanging around a lot, and whenever he was asked to do something by the EU, he always said yes. And under Rob's leadership and with the blessing of Barney's, they began to send leaders, staff, across to hang out on campus. By about the mid-1980s, Barney's was providing key staff into the EU. They ran things called PEMs, this is all before my time, personal encouragement meetings, where they met up with key leaders in the EU. Was that under your time, Ro? You used to meet up with Rob, no? All right, Rowan says move on, so we'll keep moving. And then after that step, we began to see the formalisation of the EU staff team. This was the very first EU staff team. Some of you might be able to recognise some of these characters. That's Rob Forsyth in the Ned Flanders kind of look. Yeah. It is scary, the comparison. This is Graham Chiswell, who's now heading up the AFES ministry at Monash University in Melbourne. This is Alan Lacabio, who's now the rector at St James Croydon. Andrew Caddy, who's the rector at CCRW at Ashfield. And over here is Mark Williamson, who's now the rector at Seven Hills. And some of them are your pastors, I know, from congregation. So that's the beginning of the staff team. Now, I've sort of skipped a step by skipping a slide, but I'll tell you about the beginning of the EU Graduates Fund. So around the same time, about 1989, some students were sitting in a Greek lecture writing notes. That was the president of the EU at the time, Andrew Caddy, and the treasurer at the time, a guy called Michael Jensen, who were trying to work out how could they help the EU grow. Now, they realised that in order to help the EU grow, they needed some staff to be able to support them and encourage them. And at that time, AFES was trying to place staff in places where there was no support from churches and no staff currently available. And so during a New Testament Greek class, so the story goes, a little note was passed saying to Michael Jensen saying, "I think you should write to the graduates and ask them to give money to the EU so that we can employ staff." And so they did that at the end of 1989. They sent off a letter to graduates and they received a couple of $1,000, which wasn't really enough to do anything with, but was the beginning of something. And the next year they received a bit more money, and by the time 1991 rolled around, they had enough money in the bank to employ one trainee staff worker. It was this guy here, Alan Lacabio, of whom the Lacabio Cup is named after. It was actually named by Jeff Lynn. Did he tell you that at Next Step? Employed our first Howie. It was Alan Lacabio here. And also there was actually a second Howie, or a proto-Howie, whose name was Mark Williamson. And he was a proto-Howie because he was crazy enough to just work for the EU as a Howie with no pay for a whole 2 years or a year? A year with no pay at all, he worked for the EU as a Howie. And so that was the beginning of the Howie team. One person paid, one person not paid. I just find that astounding. I want you to just think for a minute. Imagine just going, next year I'm graduating, I'm going to take a whole year to work for the EU and I'm not going to get paid. It was kind of a crazy moment. Rowan calls it a crazy Williamson when you're prepared to do kind of crazy out there risks for God in ministry. And that was Mark Williamson. And over the time, the EU Grads Fund has expanded quite rapidly. This is 1996. Anybody recognise this young man? That's Michael Kwan. Was that, what year were your first year on staff, Mike?
97?
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, oh no, I've got a mistake, but that's Mike Crumb. There's another guy here you might recognize. Rowan Kemp. There's Rowan. Yes, with hair, but thankfully not with that skanky ponytail thing that he did at uni. And there's lots of other great ones here. Graham and Nikki Chiswell. Oh, Graham and Nikki Chiswell, who work at Monash University. Justin Moffat, who's now the rector at York Street in the city. Ken Simpson, who works across at Summer Hill. Who else? Ruth Holt, with her husband, who serves at Lanyon Valley in Canberra, where one of our summer mission teams go to. And Anthony Douglas, one of our mission teams, goes there too, don't they? He's at Shoalhaven Heads, yeah, so Anthony Douglas as well. And Belinda, who works in Adelaide with her husband in the Anglican Church there. Steve Crane, who works as the worship pastor at Barney's Broadway. Yvette McDonald, who works for Coca-Cola. I don't know the other people, so I'll keep going. Another staff team in 2009. Some of those people would have been your Howies. As you went through. I just included this one because this is my favourite photo of the staff team because we kind of look hipster. Cool. I think that's maybe Richard's flannelette. And the beard and stuff. Yeah. But I quite like that. And the current staff team. Oh. Grads Fund has grown very significantly. It now employs 17 Howies this year and many senior staff, including people being added even this year with Celia Cross joining us this year and, oh, Celia Toos. Sorry, Celia. I'm not very good with moving to married names, so my apologies. Celia Toos joined us this year as well. When it started, the EU had a couple of $1,000. We now... our public company, our budget this year is $1.4 million to employ staff to be on campus, 17 Howies and 9 senior staff. And over the last 20 years, more than 120 people have been employed by the EU Graduates Fund to do ministry. I think it's an amazing story of growth, not just because the Grads Fund is my employer, but because it was a vision of the EU students who passed a note in Greek and hoped to have a staff team of 20 people, and we're well and truly there. And it's a pretty exciting part of the partnership. Alrighty. So, nurturing partnership. Why is it worth investing in and why is it worth nurturing? I think there's three principles of partnership. Well, I've got five, actually. Five principles of partnership. I changed my mind. My number is not working either. The first principle of partnership is trust. The second principle of partnership is? Yes. And the third principle of partnership is? Trust. Okay. It's about working together in a relationship of trust. And trust is something that is easily lost and it's very hard to build. And we stand on the foundation of trust built over several decades, and it could still be easily lost. It's important for us as the leaders in the EU, as staff and students, to be committed to the model of ministry that we're doing in the EU, a model of partnership. And I can think of moments over the time that I've worked in the EU and where I have stuffed this up, moments of distrust between students and staff. I can remember one particular famous relationship way back, actually, I'm happy to say, in my early days of staff working. We were at changeover and there was a new, I would say, punk faculty leader. His name was Dan. He was absolutely fabulously, fantastically full of energy. And I remember us having a discussion like we had yesterday on the objects. We met and we went outside and we sat on a park bench, our committee. And the very first thing Dan said was, "I don't like the objects and we're not going with them." Now, it was fairly kind of punk. And, you know, that was after that moving objects speech. He still thought that. And I came back in a good partnership model by saying, "Don't be so stupid, Dan. You just need to get with the objects, and we just need to get on with the job. And from there, things kind of deteriorated. We fought like cat and dog that day, and in those days, changeover was for 3 days, and we fought for the next 3 days with the committee watching on scared. And for Dan and I, it was a long way back from that moment. I stuffed up because I should have given him space to explore what he was thinking. I should have asked him some questions about what was going on. Well, don't really think that sharing the gospel is a good thing to go with? Tell me more about that. You know, actually ask some questions and giving him space as a young leader to kind of work it out himself. Thankfully, I'm so thankful to God because somehow we managed to repair that and get back. It did take a long time, and we served together for 2 years, and they were really exciting 2 years, and we got there, which was just amazing after that colossal mistake at the beginning. But trust can be easily lost, and it takes a long time to win back. And so we need to be people who trust each other, who trust that the staff are working for our good, and for the staff to trust that the students are on our side to work together in that. The fourth principle is that staff need to be committed to student responsibility. As staff, we need to be particularly careful because we sometimes do have more power and more influence because of our age and our experience and our training. And the partnership only works if staff keep pushing students forward and keep helping them to take responsibility for the ministry. We really believe in the value of partnership and the value of students being responsible for the ministry that they own. And we need to encourage maturity in the students. We need to help them see that they are on the ground and they know their culture and their people best. And we need to keep being committed to allowing them to have room and space to take and feel that responsibility. We need to help you guys take initiative. And we need to help you lead. And we need to for it to be okay to make mistakes, and sometimes big mistakes. And it's not about us trying to make you do what we think you should do. On the other hand, students need to be committed to the staff contribution. In the same way that staff need to make room for students, so the students need to work out how to include staff in the decision-making process. Because I think you'd be crazy or perhaps proud to not seek guidance and wisdom and insight that can come from another Howie or from a senior staff person. And you need to give room to have a staff member value add into your committee and into your team. And the danger for you guys as students in partnership is that you feel out of some insecurity as you start to lead. You feel precious or you feel defensive about their leadership and feel like you have to know all the answers. And that to be a competent leader, you need to ignore the wisdom from others and just make a decision as a team. The humble and wise leader does the opposite, actually. They look to release all of the wisdom and skills and gifts that God has given to their team and to maximise the impact that the team can have together. And we need to believe and affirm each other all the time. I think as staff, we need to be the number one supporter of the students whom we're partnering with. We need you guys to know that we're behind you 1,000 times, 1,000%. And students, you need to love and believe in your staff because you want to see their service of the Lord Jesus on campus grow and flourish and have a massive impact for the kingdom. Partnership is very precious. I think it's one of the great things about the EU, and it's one that we all need to continue to invest in and trust each other as we seek together to win our campus for Christ. So what we're going to do is spend a little bit of time, the next 10 minutes, talking through some questions. Ideally, I'd like you to do it in your faculty committee, so if you can grab each other quickly. Let me tell you what I want you to do, though, first. I want you to think about what are the pressure points for partnership as you think about it together. Where as a team do you think you could go wrong? And then have a bit of a discussion about how do you think partnership might work out for you as a committee or as a team? And what things might you be able to do to start trusting each other as a team? Okay. We haven't got as much time as I'd sort of hoped. So I think focus on particularly where you think it could go wrong and how you think it might work for you as a committee. Okay, and a faculty, those are 2 minute questions. Alrighty, and we'll have morning tea about 10:30.